Chapter 1. Why do people marry? Before we launch into a discussion of how to make a marriage work, perhaps we ought to pause long enough to ask, what is the purpose of marriage? What are we trying to accomplish in marriage? If you ask a dozen friends those two questions and ask them to write their answers privately, how many different answers do you think you would receive? Here are some of the responses I've received from both singles and marrieds. The purpose of marriage? Sex. Companionship. Love. To provide a home for children. Social acceptance. Economic advantage. Security. Current national debates over the meaning of marriage have pushed these questions to the forefront. Some proclaim, but you can have all of these without marriage. You don't have to be married to have sexual relations. Our society decided that one decades ago. In an era when half of all households are occupied by singles, according to the latest census, being married no longer guarantees social acceptance or economic advantage. Cohabiting is on the rise. What of love, security, companionship, and a home for children? Can these not be accomplished to some degree without marriage? Then why marriage? To fully respond to these questions, we need to look through the eyes of faith, seeking God's wisdom. And in the Bible, we see a much different picture. Beginning with Genesis, the first book of the Bible, where we read the creation story, we find that God's idea of marriage is the blending of two lives in the deepest possible way into a new unit that will both satisfy the individuals involved and serve the purposes of God in the highest possible manner. Companionship and commitment. The heart of humankind cries out for companionship. We are social creatures. God Himself said of Adam, "It is not good for the man to be alone," Genesis 2:18. I would remind you that this analysis was before the fall of humanity, and that this man already had the warm personal fellowship of God, yet God said, "This is not enough." God's answer to man's need was to create woman. The Hebrew word used here is one that literally means face to face. That is, God created one with whom the man could have a face-to-face relationship. It speaks of that kind of in-depth personal relationship whereby the two are united in an unbreakable union that satisfies the deepest longings of the human heart. Marriage was God's answer for humankind's deepest human need, union of life with another. This unity is to encompass all of life. It is not simply a physical relationship, nor is it simply the giving and receiving of emotional support. It is rather the total union of two lives on the intellectual, social, spiritual, emotional, and physical levels. This kind of union cannot come without the deep and enduring commitment that God intends to accompany marriage. Marriage is not a contract to make sexual relationships acceptable. It is not merely a social institution to provide for the care of children. It is more than a psychological clinic where we gain the emotional support we need. It's more than a means of gaining social status or economic security. The ultimate purpose of marriage is not even achieved when it is a vehicle for love and companionship, as valuable as these are. The supreme purpose of marriage is the union of two individuals at the deepest possible level and in all areas, which in turn brings the greatest possible sense of fulfillment to the couple, and at the same time serves best the purposes of God for their lives. What does it mean to be one? Obviously, simply getting married does not guarantee unity. There is a difference between being united and unity. As the old country preacher used to say, when you tie the tails of two cats together and hang them across the fence, you have united them. But then unity is a different matter. Perhaps the best biblical example that we have of this kind of unity is God Himself. It is interesting that the word used for one in Genesis 2:24, where God says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh," is the same Hebrew word used of God Himself in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, where we read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The word one speaks of composite unity as opposed to